Shalom Saints. Welcome back to another episode of Upper Room After Hours. We made it. We made it for another week. Praise Yah. Again, I make no apologies for any background noise. We are just rounding off our latest Shabbat gathering. So praise God for the sound of playing children and people talking about the Lord and having a good old time. So if you're new around here, thank you for joining me. This is an attempt to delve into mainstream modern topics with a biblical lens. Again, if you check out our main channel, you'll see all of our Torah portions from Jackie, Tommy, and Joe. And with Torah portions being said, at the time of recording, we've just listened to Vayeshev, and he dwelt the epic of Joseph and his brothers, a tale of betrayal, persecution, but ultimately redemption. And it was upon listening to the teaching, I just thought there was some similarities and some nods, shall we say, with regards to today's subject. So by the time you listen to this, Vayeshev will be the next Torah portion coming out. So again, another great one from Joe. So tune in if you're led. Again, if you're a regular, I much appreciate you taking the time to go on a little ramble with me once more. For all those contributing in the comments, the likes and all of that stuff, it's greatly appreciated. And I can appreciate the fact that this platform, this show may not necessarily be, a deep dive into the Word of God. And that's where the rest of the guys take care of that business. This is our attempt at, for me personally, there's a lot of things that take place both in the media and in culture where wherever there's, God, religion, Jesus, all of these things are mentioned, I'm just immediately drawn to look at it and to share, because I, 9 times out of 10, I think there are things that are applicable for us, and at least it's interesting, at least for my money. So let's start off with a little scripture just to, give us some context to today's show. Let's have a look. Mark 13:13. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. Amen. So today we're going to be talking about, I guess, a form of persecution. This may not be equivalent to the long and somewhat arduous history of some of the great martyrs of times gone by. But I think this is indicative of a time that we're living in. And why I think today it is a pertinent principle to look at, because this is something that's been taking place in an industry, a platform, in the public eye, and may well be imbued into our realities, so-called, with regards to our vocations, our workplaces, and even our relationships and environments at home, etc. So I would imagine that this subject is something that's probably taking place not only in the UK, but in the States as well, for all our listeners and watchers, viewers across the pond. So Crystal Palace captain Mark Gaye avoids formal action over Jesus armband messages. So what we have taking place in the UK, in our highest level of, football, soccer, in the Premier League, We have campaigns every year based on a promotion, a celebration of a certain description that is of an inclusive nature, so-called, and prominent establishments are kind of, how shall we say, are kind of, I don't want to say forced, it might well be forced, I guess that's part of the issue. These things are promoted within, football, sports. And again, this isn't like a new thing, but I just thought that this sentiment was particularly pertinent. Now, I mentioned at the top of the show, the Torah portion via Shev, obviously we have the epic of Joseph, his garment of many colors. And I think this is, I don't know, a nod with regards to a garment of many colors, which is being represented for another community, shall we say. And we have here a narrative whereby certain individuals who do hold certain religious beliefs, who are not willing to either play ball or are using the opportunity to promote scriptural alliances. Now, I know for the hardened veterans out there that this is maybe, you know, surface level, you know, that we're talking about a degree of maybe Christianity that may not be so hardcore in essence. And I appreciate that. I appreciate that. And we're going to get into the nuances in and around that. However, as I said, I just find these things interesting when they permeate through, because these are talking topics amongst people. These are potential witnessing conversations that we could be having in our workplaces, in our homes, etc. So, with that being said, let's get into the article. Now, the Crystal Palace captain, Mark Gay, will face no formal action from the Football Association despite wearing an adapted rainbow armband for the second time. Not the first time, but the second time. The player and the club have been reminded of FA kit regulations after he wore an armband saying, "I love Jesus," in Saturday's match against Newcastle. He then wore an armband stating, "Jesus loves you," against Ipswich. Big up Ipswich, place where I've actually lived previously, on Tuesday night. But it is understood that FA will still not take action. The club and player were again reminded of kit regulations, which state that the appearance on or incorporation in any item of clothing, football boots, or other equipment of any religious message is prohibited under Rule A4. So I'm sure there are many of you that have seen the videos on YouTube of certain sports people, NBA players, NFL, soccer stars, athletes. More often than not, when they're giving God the glory, when they're ascertaining their endeavors of a sporting magnitude, and they give the props to Jesus, that more often than not, they're cut off, they're maligned, sometimes even mocked on air, even physically cut off. We've seen this many a time. You'll see the compilations on there where it's becoming all the more difficult to proclaim glory to God in times of personal achievement. Now, again, we're going to get into some of the potential nuances with that kind of attributing personal sporting endeavors to the glory of God. Right. Captains have been wearing rainbow armbands in the last two rounds of Premier League matches as part of the Rainbow Laces campaign, which offers support to the LGBTQ plus community in football and beyond. The campaign, which the Premier League runs in partnership with the LGBTQ plus charity Stonewall, comes to an end with Thursday's Premier League matches. So Gahey is not due to wear a rainbow armband again. So Stonewall is a very popular charity over here that does a lot of work with regards to inclusivity within football. Again, for some context, much like a lot of sports across the world, football is a very, even now, it's still a very male, I guess, heterosexual oriented endeavor and pastime. It's changed dramatically over the last 20, 25 years in the UK with regards to the demographics that, follow and get into football. But part of this campaign is the inclusivity of the, historically the malignment of certain people and people groups, which, on a deeper level, in terms of society and their views, it's always going to permeate into whether it's the culture of music, entertainment, football, and quite often these institutions are held of at a level of being a bastion of the moral compass, which these things were never intended to be. They were endeavors of human prowess and competition and all of these things. But fast forward to modern day, it's a vehicle for political messaging, and even going as far as propaganda for legislation, etc. The FA did not get involved in the case of Ipswich captain Sam Morsy, who has chosen to wear a standard captain's armband in the last two matches owing to his religious beliefs. There was also an example, I think, with the Manchester United team. They had a particular training uniform, a kit, that they were due to wear celebrating these things. And there was an individual in that team who did not feel comfortable with doing so. And so the whole team refrained from doing it as an act of solidarity, interestingly enough. Though Gahee has not been punished, his father, John, a church minister, criticised the FA for issuing a reminder. He told the Daily Mail, "Did he offend anyone? I don't think so. I do believe in what the Bible says. Jesus loves everyone. And in my opinion, Mark did not offend anyone with what he wrote." Again, just to highlight, again, this isn't the depths of the Torah here. We're talking, John 3:16, that God so loved the world kind of stuff, 101, okay? So I appreciate that, right? Mark said yes, and he did the right thing by wearing it, and he told the Daily Mail, "Did he offend anyone? I don't think so. I do believe in what the Bible says. Jesus loves everyone, and in my opinion, Mark did not offend anyone with what he wrote. Mark said yes and did the right thing by wearing it, but people are having a go at him. The FA are happy for the crowd to sing 'God Save the King' when England plays, which mentions God and religion, and they are happy to have the religious hymn 'Abide with Me' during the FA Cup final, yet they have a go at my son for expressing his beliefs. Where is the sense in that? What has he done wrong?" So at this point, I'm happy to just to cover loosely this premise of, again, why should we care? Like, we know that this is how can we say that the top ends of many industries in this world are riddled and promoted with anti-biblical notions of idolatry and blasphemy, even at some points. We could go to the furthest degree and look at the almost Masonic imprint and signatures that are prevalent within the highest ends of sports. I know I'm not ignorant to the influence within football and its Freemasonic connections. Again, that's not the point of today's episode. Some people can allude to the Roman Colosseum, the bread and the circuses of high-end sportsmanship. I know from personal experience the when we come to faith that there may be, not maybe, but idolatry can be deeply connected to an individual. And when they come to faith, that things like their appreciation for football and sports in general can like be, you know, discarded through fear of being disobedient to Yah, which I completely understand. And is there many things wrong with the highest form of sports? Like 100%, like we've all seen the videos, we've all done our research, and I understand that. But yet, with that being said, I believe that God has created us humans with great physical capabilities, and that it can be a joy, it can be a privilege to either participate or watch these endeavors. I don't think there's anything inherently sinful with that. But again, it's just we're not here to get into the whys and wherefores of how sinful sports performance is. certainly a lot of things around it. But for me personally, I had to shed a lot of things with regards to my appreciation for football. It was definitely an idol within my life. But as I've grown in faith, I've come to a point where there are elements that I can enjoy and take it for what it is, you know. So that's neither hither nor thither. But I do think it's fascinating. I think if you look even at the architecture involved in sports stadia, the history of the individuals that were designing these things, the how things like American baseball was created, the symbolic elements within there. It is a deep one. It's a deep dive within itself, and I appreciate that. However, I still think there's value in the human pursuits of competition done in a healthy way that isn't for corporate profit, greed, and promotion of malevolent forces. Let's get back into it.
Mark Gahey has revealed the reason why he wrote his religious messages on his Rainbow Captain's armband. During the Premier League's participation in Stonewall's Rainbow Laces campaign, Mark Gahey wrote, "I love Jesus and Jesus loves you" on his LGBTQ+ themed armband. And now he's explained his thinking behind it.
So it was a message of love, of truth as well, and a message of inclusivity, so I think it speaks for itself.
The FA decided not to take formal action against him, despite telling players and staff they're not allowed to have any religious message on clothing, boots or equipment. But Gahey's dad, who's a church minister, believes that his son didn't offend anyone and that the LGBTQ+ community are trying to impose on others what they believe in. Mark Gahey has revealed the reason.
Right, so really interesting how whilst trying to find the balance of participating in a sport and an industry that this individual loves and you know makes money from, he's forced he's in a position now where the powers that be are trying to encourage things that are contradictory to his religious belief. So not only is there this sense of non-participation, but there's actually a form of protest using scripture, which we're going to get into this weird position where an individual isn't allowed to express a religious or personal belief, but yet there is a belief of a certain kind that's being promoted. So there could potentially be a degree of hypocrisy with that. The next clip I'm going to show comes from a very popular secular radio radio podcast show called TalkSport. Really popular, but quite often they get into some deeper topics. And I thought this was, I personally don't spend my time listening to these people any great deal. There might be the odd story that comes through. If there's a degree of controversy about something, I'll take a look. But for the most part, these kind of talking head shows, when they're talking about football and everything else, it's just, you know, who cares really? But with this, I think this is an insight and an indication into not only the situation that we have ensuing, but I think there's like a deeper, potentially a deeper messaging behind there as well. Bearing in mind that this is a secular show, I don't know if these guys have any personal beliefs. I would hazard a guess not. They're probably tied up in some sort of, who knows, brotherhood of themselves. I don't know. I'm speculating. It's fun to speculate. But I think this gives a good objective commentary on this position.
Ipswich Town have said that their captain, Sam Morsy, refused to wear a rainbow captain's armband at the weekend, coach, due to his religious beliefs. Morsy is a practicing Muslim, and he led Ipswich at the weekend amidst the yearly Rainbow Laces campaign. The question here is, should players be allowed to pick and choose the campaigns and messages that football chooses to involve itself in? Now, as well as that, we've learnt in the last hour that England defender Mark Gahey will escape any FA punishment for writing "I love Jesus" on his rainbow-coloured captain's armband. The FA are expected to contact Gahey to remind the Palace centre-back that religious messaging is banned. As I said, Alex joins us live. Alex, on this Gahey situation, what more do
There's something even just hearing the name, and again, we can get into the sacred name debate and that, but when you hear even his name, like, on secular shows, it's like, go on.
Do we know?
Yeah, good afternoon, guys. As you say, first and foremost, good news for Crystal Palace in their predicament down at the bottom of the table, and for Mark Gahey, that he hasn't been charged. He's not going to be charged by the FA, and therefore there won't be any kind of punishment or suspension coming his way. It comes after the game against Newcastle at the weekend.
Could you imagine, like, you work in, like, in whatever trade you're in? You know, you could be in the office, you could be on site somewhere, wherever you're, and your company that you work for, and I've been in this position myself, where they want to promote and want you to be involved in the promotion of this movement. And imagine where you're kind of wondering if at some point you might be suspended, or, you know, your pay docked, or some form of castigation for actually being like, you know what, I'm good, like, you do you, but that's going against my religious beliefs. Like, this is part of the reason why I'm looking at this, because, you know, if this is taking place in sports, who's to say that further down the road that these things aren't becoming more prevalent within our working lives? And at the top of the show, I said there, you shall be hated for my name's sake. You know, this element of persecution, and coming persecutions. We can expect that we may find ourselves in a test, either individually or corporately, where we're having to proclaim his name and stand on that name and say, nah, I'm not bowing down to this. So this is part of the reason why I felt led to look at this in particular.
And when Gahey unfortunately scored an own goal against the club that tried so hard to sign him in the summer, he wore that rainbow coloured armband, as 19 of the 20 Premier League captains did, and he wrote on it, "I love Jesus." Now, that is a contravention of FA laws of the game, which state political, religious or personal slogans.
We can see the conundrum here. So an individual can't proclaim their faith in Jesus, but at the same time, they're led to proclaim the promotion of a certain lifestyle, shall we say. And we all know, like, we know in the bigger picture, like, what's going on, but it's like, come on. And again, another reason to be taking a look at this, I feel that there can be a pendulum, to's and fro's within society, within the secular world, where even the everyman who may not be a believer, they may not have a faith, God's law, God's eternal principles, the natural order of design. I believe creation is inherently aligned to that, in the sense that when it deviates one way or the other, they're going to want to come back in line somehow. I'm not saying, look, I'm not negating the fact that we're handed over to like a reprobate world and there's terrible things, of course, but I'm talking about the everyman geezer on the street who likes his football, you know, he's got his wife at home and da-da-da-da, you know, that typical setup. I don't know what they call them in the States. Is it blue collar? I don't know. You know, you can see this pendulum swinging where a lot of people are like, I've had enough of this. Like, why is everything, why is all this stuff being promoted? Why is it in the films? Why is it in the children's TV shows? Why is it in, we know as believers, we're like, yeah, there's a flipping heinous campaign by a mortal enemy that's being inflicted on us. We can, you know, but I'm talking about the guys who aren't, you know, who don't have the spirit, but yet they're going, wow, like, and again, I thought this, we'll get, I'll show you how this is demonstrated, but I think that there can be very interesting sways within a culture and a people where they go, I've had enough of this.
Statements or images are prohibited. So he was treading a fine line there, but as you say, my understanding is that the FA, rather than imposing any formal punishment, are almost going to reprimand Gay. They're going to contact Palace. They're going to contact the player and remind him that such religious statements are banned. But it's an interesting one, isn't it? Particularly when I know you guys are about to debate what happened with Sam Morsy at Ipswich refusing to wear that armband.
Yeah, I mean, Simon, if Gay was prompted to send out a message of his own.
Simon Jordan, for those that don't know, he's an individual in England who has previously owned football clubs. He's a broadcaster, one of those kind of almost Simon Cowell-esque figures, divisive, but I think can be, he's very well articulated, an interesting guy, and can bring a lot of kind of like punchy observations, which obviously for a show like this, that's kind of what they're baiting for. They want these clickbaity, punchy headlines I think this, yeah, we're going to show like this representation of like almost like the voice of reason without having a dog in a fight, so to speak.
As we heard, I love Jesus on that rainbow armband. You could argue that that was prompted by some religious motivation on his part. Would he not have been better just abandoning wearing the armband itself?
Probably.
I mean, one wonders where all this goes. Where do you stand on Morsy? First things first. If he feels, I'm not going to do it, I refuse to wear a rainbow captain's armband due to my religious beliefs, is he quite right to do just that? And are Ipswich right to back him?
Probably yes. I mean, if football insists upon involving itself in relative causes in a society that treats everybody with equality, it seems the need to continue to promote certain messages through it, and you're going to get certain challenges, and you're going to get certain people that don't agree with it. And so if you don't agree with something, should you be forced to have to adhere to it? I'm always for integration. I'm always for central values, and people that come to this country to understand the central principles of this country, is one of the big arguments that I make, is that central principles are a very important part of the reasons why there's so many challenges in this country, because we don't have them. But I'm also not entirely sure why we need to have these kind of messages inside football. I don't know why we need to have rainbow laces or rainbow flags. I'm sure I can be told by those that want to have these sort of things inside football stadiums, I'm sure it's very important to take a rainbow flag and wave it at a football match. I think under the law and in society, people's sexualities are protected characteristics. I don't know why it's a fascination with making it prevalent, but it seems to be. And I don't know why we have to have Pride Days, because 40 years ago it was something that people weren't able to have. We've now moved on as a society, and people get a bit fed up with the messaging and having it pushed down your throat. But in these instances, I think Mark Gahey and the fellow Ipswich are entitled not to be forced into a situation that they don't concur with. Now, whether you...
So, yeah, that's illustrating this principle of generally people aren't that hateful. Well, to that degree anyway, like causing harm unto others, deriding other people and what they do. Particularly in that environment where, you know, that's not the primary objective to be in, to be going to a football game. Many people there are there to enjoy the spectacle. However, one of the interesting facets about sports and particularly football in the UK, it's incredibly tribal. The history of it, the tradition, the identity that's wrapped up within communities, within towns and cities, the rivalries. A lot of the ills of the human condition are represented in these environments, particularly in football in the UK. And what I mean by that is that a lot of the differences, a lot of these kind of marginalizations that these charities and these organizations are trying to propagate, are trying to like bandage and plaster over a, you know, if there's an environment where you're going to hear homophobia, if you're going to hear things against people of races, creeds and colors and the differences within people, and that being used as a form of weaponization against the differences in people, it's in sports, it's in football. It's part of that really guttural tribal element to the identity. And often, more often than not, it can be a religious sentiment behind that. You go to any major city, there's a Catholic-Protestant divide within a lot of major cities. Just go to Scotland and Ireland and how football is related into that. What I'm saying is that these promotions aren't going to do anything, because we're talking about a spiritual principle that is running through all of this.
You agree with whether they should co with it or not is a different discussion. And football finds itself regularly in this space. It finds itself in the space with James McLean, because for some reason or another, football thinks it's appropriate and needs to. We have a Remembrance Sunday. We know something special for it. And I understand that there's something special about that, but it also creates its own debates. Football gets involved with lighting up stadiums and alighting upon things that it can't actually substantiate, because his main protagonists don't really want to follow through on their views. We have Jordan Henderson telling everybody how his viewpoint about particular persuasions should be supported, and off he rocks to a country that doesn't have that. So I do feel that football should perhaps stay out of these arguments, stay out of these debates, but it doesn't want to. And so that means that the people inside it have to be forced into something they either believe in or not, and take a stance. And I don't think he needs to write what he wrote on the armband.
Yeah,
I think he should have just said, I don't want to wear it.
See, Marcy's in a difficult situation to a degree here.
And again, if we're taking cues from these situations, is this something that we're going to find ourselves in? You know, in our working environments where we have to say, you know, thanks, but no thanks. But then even by not conforming to this, we're going to cop heat, we're going to cop flack for not doing it. And then there may be those of us out there who will go that step further and, you know, write on our armband, metaphorically speaking, who was like, nah, do you know what, like, not only will I not take part, but I'm actually going to give you the truth of the matter. And this is the irony, is that we're talking about institutions that aren't actually inclusive, that are incredibly exclusive by its nature, whether it be through creed, class, financial standing. But then when you truly have inclusivity, when you have the message of the gospel, I'm talking about the purest form of the gospel, that is the definition of inclusivity. For God so loved the whole world that he gave his only begotten son. The whole world. This is for everyone. This truly is for everyone. But here's the kicker. If you stand on the truth, you'll be hated for my name's sake, because you call things for what they are. Interesting.
Alex, because I noticed he came in for a bit of flack over the weekend after refusing to wear a rainbow captain's armband at the weekend due to his religious beliefs. It was very much and very speedily brought to everybody's attention by...
Now, one, I guess you could call it a thought experiment. Now, we're talking about believers in Christ protesting, and people could say, and I would share this sentiment as a Bible believing follower of Yeshua, somebody who's accepted my justification of salvation through Jesus, however I'm trying to do good works that merit my salvation, and my works are measured by the Torah, and I try to live in accordance to God's Torah. Now, part of that is honoring the Sabbath, right? I think it's such a central theme to our faith. And, my heart is to honor the Sabbath. And I probably get this wrong in different ways, like we all do. We're all trying our best with the knowledge that we've been given, right? However, I don't feel that like playing football or participating in sports would necessarily be honoring the Sabbath. Like, let's be real. And again, I'm not trying to write the rules to this, but I've personally experienced what it is to come to the faith in this way and then participate in playing football on the Shabbat. Through justifying it through different means, whether it be through the lack of fellowship that I had, where it be through the witness that I could potentially make through that. You know, I did the loop-de-loops in order to justify what it was to do that. However, I did not feel that ultimately through the participation and the things that come with it were honoring God's Sabbath. So with that thought, I mean, we've witnessed a lot of, celebrity entertainment culture Christians who come to the faith and proclaim that Jesus is Lord, but yet somehow there's a kind of tepidness, there's a watered down version, there's a kind of, it still fits in with certain narratives. And we yearn for a genuine conversion that will shake these institutions. And for me, in my thought process of thinking, wow, wouldn't it be amazing if, let's say, a Lionel Messi, a Cristiano Ronaldo, these top tier, high end, world famous athletes were to come to the faith in that way, and they say, do you know what? I'm not going to play on the Sabbath anymore. And it sounds very like simplistic and childlike, but I thought, wow, what an amazing thing if you had somebody who was that talented and that well known who are willing to say, do you know what, like I love football, I love the gifts that God has given me, but I can't dishonor God's Sabbath, so I'll sign for your team, give me the contract, but in that contract I'm not going to play Friday sundown to Saturday sundown. I'll play any other time. And that guy is so good in that, like, they'll say, all right, okay, we'll play you on a Wednesday night and we'll play you on a Monday or whenever else. Like, you're that good. We'll see if we can do without you on a Saturday. Now, I know for those who know about football, and they'll say, well, this isn't possible just because of the amount of games that are played on a Saturday. And we all know, again, from a biblical perspective, when you look at the truth of the matter, that so much of the world is geared towards a violation of the Sabbath in many ways, because Saturday is such a central day for the world in terms of consumerism and entertainment and doing as what we would like to do. However, the Shabbat is doing what we can do to honor God and to abide with him. So it's just one of those things. I thought, wow, what an amazing thing it would be if somebody came to that and was like, nah, what a protest that would be. You know, my wife said, before, like, in all of these celebrity conversions, none of them come to Torah. Like, you don't see any of them who go, do you know what, like, I'm going to keep the Shabbat now. I want to do the feast and I'm going to keep the dietary laws and, you know, I really want to do what God's word said. You don't tend to see that. And I'm not saying I expect to see that anytime soon. She said to me, is this something you prayed about? And I was like, no, I haven't. But it's something I think would be cool to see, that like genuine conversion. Who knows? It might be something that would come in the future. And that's about it for this week. Not as deep and as gritty as previous episodes. It's been quite nice just to have a look at something on a surface level is quite interesting. Again, please get involved in the comments. Is this something that's going to become more pertinent and more prevalent within our daily lives? We can go full revelation on it and say, is this a precursor to the mark and bowing down and all of these things? Maybe so. Is this something that we even need to pay attention to? I don't know. I think it's quite interesting. As ever, please get involved in the comments. It's much appreciated. Like, share, subscribe, do all the good stuff. But for now, from our house to yours, shalom. We love you. This has been The Upper Room. And hope this reaches you and yours well. And Yah willing, we'll see you on the next one. Take care. Bye-bye.